This is, "And in the darkness, bind them." A Stargate Atlantis fanfic written by Spuffy Duds and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated NC-17, contains the pairing Ronan Dex, Rodney McKay, John Shepard, with additional tags for cultural misunderstanding, The Hobbit, hiking, campfires. Author's notes. Done for a fic-a-thon for the prompt of these three guys. Quote, team bonding or bondage, or both. End quote. Day 1. Remind me why we feel it necessary to trade with a village that's 4 days grueling, sweaty, buggy hike from a gate, Rodney says. Taylor claims, Shepard says, they grow something really similar to coffee. Oh, right, Rodney says, and speeds up. He very nearly keeps pace with Ronan for a while. Day 2. Bored, Rodney says. Sweaty, bug-bitten, thigh-chafed, but mostly bored. Really very bored. And to his surprise, Ronan starts reciting something. It must be in Satidin, and even though Rodney doesn't understand a word of it, it's impressive as hell. There's a lot of alliteration, some assonance, and just a grand, epic feel to it. It feels like listening to Beowulf, except it doesn't sound jagged and craggy like that. The consonants are all rounded off somehow. Buttery. Ronan goes on for a long time, and Rodney actually gets kind of lost in it, forgets that he's hot and uncomfortable and tired and sore. Ronan finally wraps it up just as they reach a hilltop, and he's silhouetted against the setting sun. Did he plan that? And when he booms out something that sounds like Blufrandio, drops his head and goes quiet. Wow, Rodney says. Yeah, Shepard says. And Rodney jumps a little. He'd forgotten Shepard was there. What was that about? Rodney says. Ronan shrugs. Eviscerations, mostly. Day 3. You're up, Ronan says to Shepard. What? You're the storyteller today. Whoa, Shepard says. No, I don't have any good stories. Rodney? No! I order you to take a turn, Shepard says, grins slowly. Oh, for God's sake, Rodney says. And because any real story from his life would involve having to sketch out calculations, and because, well, here they are, hiking through the wilderness and all, he launches into Tolkien. Not word for word, of course. The summarized, good parts version. Which means, among other things, that he leaves out 200 pages worth of trees moving very, very slowly. He's pretty thorough on hitting all the big events, though. And on getting everything in the right order, because, yes, okay, he read through the whole damn thing every year from ages 9 to 23. Okay, 27. Ronan gets surprisingly into it. He makes a little growly noise every time the ringwraiths show up. John rolls his eyes some at first. Oh, like you never read it, Rodney says. Once, I didn't memorize it, John says. But Rodney has his suspicions, and a bit later he purposefully mangles some Elvish, and John corrects him and then winces. You are so very busted, Rodney says. Go back to the story, Ronan says. Rodney's voice is creaky and shredded by the time they stop for the night. They spread out bedrolls, and then they all three do a little Taylor-designed stretching routine. I grow weary, she said when she told it to them, of hearing you make elderly man noises in the morning every time we have to sleep on the ground. It is completely goofy looking, but it works. Ronan volunteers for first watch, and Rodney and John strip to boxers and tees, lie down. Rodney's almost asleep when Ronan comes rustling back through the brush after his first circuit around the camp, and it takes him a minute to make any sense of it when Ronan hunkers down next to him and says, "The Fellowship. Do they ever do any Frondella?" Rodney blinks, can't get a sound out of his scratchy throat for a minute, then manages, "Any what?" Ronan waves his hands in a frustrated, "Things get lost in translation" way. "It's a way to calm down, relax, focus before a fight." Shepard raises up on his elbow and Rodney's at his side, says, "Well, some people speculate that the pipeweed was a little more than tobacco." "No," Ronan says, "not like that." And then he's unlacing his bracers, which Rodney has never seen him do. In fact, Rodney had assumed that they were sacred somehow, were never supposed to come off, meant that Ronan was married to the Satidan army or something. And then he's lacing them onto Rodney's arms, which is very bizarre, very intimate. What the hell? On Rodney, they take up almost his whole lower arms, wrist to elbows. And once they're on, Ronan takes the leftover leather lacing and, very fast, very neatly with those big hands, ties them together. Rodney says. "Hey? What?" And with one hand, Ronan pins Rodney's wrists to the ground above his head. Rodney panics because, oh my god, Ronan is attempting some sort of chiropractic designed for giant Satidan soldiers, and he is going to break Rodney in half. Rodney opens his mouth to say, "Thank you very much. I so appreciate the thought, and I deeply respect your cultural relaxation practices, but I like my spine where it is." But he does not manage to do what he is planning with his mouth, because Ronan leans over and sticks his tongue in it. Ronan does that for a while, and Rodney just lies there, because Ronan's tongue is in his mouth, and Rodney does not currently understand the universe at all. Ronan sits back up. Rodney rolls his head to look at Shepard, who is sitting up on his bedroll, but who is absolutely no help, because he just blinks at Rodney, very slowly, and says, "Huh. What?" Rodney looks at Ronan, who looks perfectly calm, and Rodney manages to say in a nearly normal voice, "So, that's Lodelia." "First part of it," Ronan says, and slides his free hand down Rodney's stomach and into his boxers. "Oh," Rodney says, and wow, that's a huge hand on his cock. Squeezing. See, I'm a little confused here because squeezing, and stopping to run fingertips lightly up the length, and then squeezing some more. Because we are not actually headed for a fight, we... Jesus! And getting into a rhythm now. A good one, a fast one, a rhythm Rodney likes. Yes, yes, going to a coffee market! "Markets can be stressful," Shepard says, sitting up next to them and watching. Shepard is watching, and Rodney's coming. Rodney just lies there for a minute after, He looks at Ronan, who looks smug, but in an everyday way, like he just showed them a mildly nifty knife-throwing trick. Rodney looks at Shepard, who looks, well, Rodney's trying to come up with a comparison for how he looks, but Shepard's eyes are glazed over and his mouth is open and a little wet, and really the only thing he looks like is, he looks like he just watched Ronan jack Rodney off. Ronan stops pinning Rodney's wrists and starts unlacing the bracers. Thank you, Rodney says. I mean, thank you. And really, he does feel better, warm and soothed, and he'll have to explain to Ronan later that this is not so much how they do things where Rodney's from. But right now, he's going to shove the whole thing into that large, overcrowded part of his brain marked strange and upsetting things I am not thinking about, and just go to sleep. Except that Ronan's got one bracer off Rodney now, and on the other side of Rodney, Shepard is taking his watch off. Shepard is silently holding his bare wrist out toward Ronan. Oh, Rodney says, a breathy little sound, almost a whimper. And he ends up hardly sleeping at all. Day 4. Ronan is walking ahead like usual, but nothing else is usual, because Shepard's hardly said anything all morning, and when he did, it was just things like, look out for that branch. Rodney wants to be a good example of, see, nothing has changed at all, and make normal chatter, but he can't think of a damn thing to say either. Finally, almost halfway through the day, Shepard suddenly says, I don't really feel any more relaxed. Yes, Rodney says. Yes, exactly right. Me neither. He ventures a sidelong glance at Shepard, the first time he's gotten up the courage to look in hours, and Shepard's smiling a little. I feel pretty damn good, though, Shepard says. Yes, Rodney says, and smiles a little back. Yeah. The end.